Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Raw Barbell Club podcast. On today's episode, I have Melanie Curry on. Melanie is an OCR racer who just recently competed at the Spartan Ultra World Championships in Sweden. This episode was recorded just before she left while I was in Dubbo performing or teaching a snatch workshop. It was awesome fun meeting her. It was awesome fun teaching the seminar. And guys, if you are interested in hosting one of our snatch or clean and jerk seminars, workshops, reach out, because I'd love to come out to your gym no matter where you are in the world. Guys, if you want, we also have plenty of spots left on our online team. Our online team are getting super strong, ultra jacked, and their technique is just going through the roof. So if you're interested in getting taught weightlifting and you don't have anyone near you that can help you out, please reach out to us, because I would love to help you guys. If you love this episode just like I did, please leave a comment below and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And if you really, really love this episode, please share it with your friends. I love making this podcast and it's a lot of fun, but the only way we keep doing this is with your generosity. Making this podcast is an amazing experience, but it does cost us a lot of money. So all we're asking for is a small donation, the price of a coffee. If every single person that listened to this episode donated a coffee, we'd have enough money to keep this podcast going for another 3 months. Guys, if you want to donate, just go to www.rawbarbellclub.com/donate or click the link that is in the description. Guys, once again, that's www.rawbarbellclub.com/donate. Thank you so much to every single person that has already donated. You guys mean the world to me, and I hope you really enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you at the end of the show. Supersonic. Hey guys, and welcome to the Raw Barbell Club podcast. I'm your host, coach, and all-around good guy, Andy. Today, I'm here with, I actually don't know your last name.
Melanie Curry.
Mel is, you don't mind me calling you Mel, right?
Yeah, everyone calls me Mel.
Okay. Mel is an OCR racer. She does a lot of enduro stuff. And how old are you, Mel?
I'm mid-50s.
Yep. Yeah. She does all of this as a master's athlete, essentially.
Well, they don't really have a master's division.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, you are a master's athlete.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
When did you get into OCR stuff?
5 years ago.
Okay, so you haven't been in it that long.
No. I came from a background in my family. My father had been a professional sportsman, and he didn't believe that girls should play sport.
Yeah.
So I went through my whole childhood and youth without playing sport. And the couple of attempts I had at it were disasters. And it wasn't until my children grew up that I took sport up for myself.
Wow.
Hmm.
And what was it that led you to getting into sport?
Well, I'd always said to them, you can do anything you put your mind to. Yep. And I think there comes a point in your life when you think about what you've said to your kids and how you've brought them up. And I thought, I've never really shown them. I've always been the best at the things that I knew I could do,
yep,
but I hadn't stepped outside my comfort zone. So I thought, I'm going to try new things. So... Certainly, wow. you can change.
And what was the first race you did?
The first race I did, I fell into, it was a Tough Mudder.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was 23Ks and it was down near Penrith.
Oh, down near my way.
Yeah.
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 And how did you find, was that the one, they do that in Appin, right?
Yeah, they do it all over the place. Okay. Yeah.
And so the Tough Mudder is the one where... Obviously, there's mud involved.
There is mud and there's obstacles, and it's not very skills-based. It's more like face your fears.
Yeah. Because there's that electricity wall and the ice.
Yeah, there's ice baths and there's you catch a crawl under these wires that were live, and then you have to finish run through a whole lot of live wires. So, yeah, it's fear-based. You've got to jump off things and dive through flames. So you do have to have some sort of athletic training because you've got to run the 23Ks and there are bits where you're swinging off monkey bars. And
But you do get a beer at the end.
You do, yes.
Yeah. So for me, that would be my favourite part of the obstacle course.
Well, for me, I thought it was going to be too, but it was a beer that I don't drink, and it was like the 21st obstacle. You get to the finish and you've got to drink a beer you don't like. So, yeah, anyway.
What beer do you like to drink?
Well, I don't really drink anymore, but when I do drink, I probably go for a Corona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an easy drinking beer.
Yeah.
You guys actually have a lot of really cool breweries and stuff here.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We've got the new Devil's Elbow that's opened and they're doing their own craft beers up there. And then we've got a couple downtown. So they're great places to go and meet and have food. And
Yeah, well, I had breakfast there this morning.
Oh, nice.
At Devil's Elbow.
Yeah, it's
and
really
then
good.
It's very close to CrossFit Dubbo.
Yes.
So it was nice.
Yeah.
How did you find the seminar yesterday?
It was great. Awesome. I had a fear of snatches. I don't know why, but you know how sometimes you just have this thing in your head and so every time you go to do it, it stops.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew I couldn't get it right and I guess that's what it was. So I never ever felt comfortable, but I came away from it thinking, you know what, I want to go and try and see how heavy I can actually get to over the next few weeks. And it's a great lift for me because a lot of what we do requires upper body strength and it also requires you to be able to lock out for long periods of time. So
yeah,
it's a great lift for me to be doing.
What's your favourite obstacle? Other than, running's not really an obstacle. It's kind of...
Running's your rest in an obstacle race. When you do it, because what I do is races that go for 24 hours or more. So I've done 200-kilometre races and I've done three-day events that Spartan put on and things. So the running part's your rest. My favourite thing is anything heavy, carrying heavy stuff.
Like sandbags and stuff?
Yes, sandbags, unusual objects. We do dead ball lifts. I love climbing ropes too. Yeah, but anything that's heavy and hard.
You like grindy stuff.
Yeah, I do. I do. I did a Spartan Agogi and it's like the pinnacle of Spartan and only a few people get in and they have ex-Marine Corps people running it who are very hardcore and basically you have a heavy pack on your back for 2 to 3 days and they just push you and there's burpees and there's running and there's carrying and building stuff and things that seem ridiculous and swimming through ice water and tying knots when you're exhausted under ice water and I love that. I love things that make you really feel like you've got to stretch your mental strength.
Have you ever done, what's the hardest... Spartan, is it the death race?
No, that's my next step.
Okay. Yeah.
So Agogi is sort of on par with the death race, but it's not a race.
Yeah.
It's just being pushed and not being cut and not having to drop out. And it goes for about...
Is that Agogi or is that the
Agogi,
death race?
It goes for about 60 to 72 hours. Death race is a race.
Yeah.
So you're in it and you're an individual. Yeah. And you just never know what's going to happen to you.
Because you don't know... Is it true that you don't know when it finishes?
No, you don't know when it starts and you don't know when it finishes. You know you've got to be in town by this time. You know you've got to stay at a certain place and that's so they can come and get you and say get out there now.
Yeah.
And you don't know when it finishes. I have no clue.
You tell me more about the death race? Because I've listened to... Who's the founder of Spartan?
Joe DeSena.
Yeah, Joe DeSena.
Awesome.
I've heard him talk before.
Yeah.
And I've heard him talk about Spartan race and then death race. And I'm like, death race? Why would you do that? Like, it's so crazy.
It's just like... I think that we forget as humans what we're capable of. Like our body is capable of probably 10 or 15 times more than we ask it to do, but our mind holds us back. And I think these are epic adventures that teach us just what we can do and what we're capable of. And for me, I find when I go and do one of their hardcore endurance events, I come back and every time I'm faced with an obstacle in real life, I can say, you know what? I crawled under barbed wire for 40 kilometres, so there's no way I'm not going to be able to cope with this. So it really sets you up for becoming a stronger person in life and realising what you have got and what you have got to gain. So death race is one of these races where you turn up, you have to obviously be accepted. There's in all of Spartan's high-level events, there's qualifying requirements. And they have a theme usually, but the theme may not give you much information about what's going to happen.
Can you give me an example of a theme that they
I knew a couple of years ago the theme was death. So it's enough to scare you. You know, the whole thing is they play with your mind from the start.
Yeah.
So, so you turn up and you don't know what's going to happen to you. Not this year's death race, the one before, they had a guy that broke the world record in a barbed wire crawl. So he crawled for 12 hours underneath barbed wire. And obviously your whole body's ripped to shreds because it's in the American summer and it's hot. So you're wearing shorts and a singlet basically and you get ripped by the barbed wire. But people keep going because it's just about harnessing that mind power instead of listening to what your body's telling you, because when we're sore, our mind shuts us down. It's not our body that stops, it's our mind that stops our body. And there's challenge after challenge after challenge, and some of them seem ridiculous. They may involve mind power. I know in one death race, people had to go up and down a mountain, and they had to get to the top, memorize the names of the last 12 presidents, run back down, and relay those to somebody at the bottom, which may not sound hard. But when you've been put through extreme challenges for 48 hours, you're flat out remembering who you are, let alone remembering a list of names. So if you failed that, you had to go back up again and back down again. So, yeah, there's mental challenge involved, there's physical challenge, but at the end of it, you come out a better person. You have this feeling that, you know what, I can conquer the world.
Wow.
So it's great. Yeah.
Do you think you've always been mentally strong for this stuff, or do you think that the training or the actual events are what have forged this mindset?
I think that I've always had a love of adventure and thought that I wanted to try things that were difficult, and I've not been a person to give in. So I know when I was at school, teachers used to call me stubborn and difficult, but I think if you can turn those characteristics into something positive, you can actually use them to harness the strength of your mind. And for me, it's about, I don't want to have to come back and say, hey, I gave up.
Yeah.
It's important to me to be able to say, you know what, I did my best and I kept going to the end and I didn't give in.
Has there ever been a time in your life where you've given up?
I don't know whether I've given up, but I do beat myself up a bit for not, like when I was younger, doing, like standing up more for what I wanted to do. You know, sometimes I think that we just do what we're told. We don't question that.
Mm.
And I'm not suggesting that everyone go out and go against authority, but I do think that no matter how old we are, we have a right to have some role in where our life's going to head and the direction that we're going in, and I think we should question things. Yeah, so I don't want to be in the position again where I just don't
go with the flow.
Something.
Yeah. I think it's really easy to using the term being a sheep is like a little bit, you know, on the far side of that.
Yeah.
But I think it is really easy to just go with the flow and not just go against it, I guess.
I think a lot of it is to do with change. I think, like, people look at, okay, maybe I'd like to do this, but what have I got to give up? Whereas I think what we should be doing is saying, you know what, we can change what we do and then we can achieve this and then we can gain this. Instead of thinking, well, you know what, I've got to give up all the food I like, I've got to give up sleeping in the morning because I've got to get up and train, I've got to give up drinking or socialising. But you haven't really, you've only got to change the way you do things. You change what you eat, you change what you drink, you change the time you get out of bed. And the result is you really learn something and you gain something and you gain amazing confidence and you gain strength and health and fitness and experiences that you wouldn't have dreamed that you would have had. So for me, I think people are scared of change and giving things up.
One thing that's helped me with that has been my partner.
Yeah.
She's just like, she challenges me to do things and step out of my comfort zone.
Yep.
I don't always listen. But is that something that you've sort of found as well? Like, what is your relationship like? Because I know you guys, you know, picked up and moved to Dubbo and then, you know, never really moved back. So, like, did your partner do any races or anything first?
No, my partner's the complete polar opposite of me.
Okay.
You know, has no interest anymore in fitness or anything.
Yeah.
When he was younger, he played football and he was in the Roosters grades. and we lived in Sydney, and he was very interested in fitness, and he did ventures and was a Queen Scout and all those sorts of things. And then as we had children, and we've got 5 boys and a daughter, I gave up a lot of what I did, but I still tried to support the things that he wanted to do and definitely what the kids wanted to do. And I'm really lucky because now that we don't have the responsibility of the children at home, he said, you know, it's your turn. You've given everything up and now it's my turn to support you in what you want to do. And sometimes I even feel like he's a bit like a stage parent because he'll enter me in all these things and point out things that I should be entering. But it is great. It's the same as you. Yeah. Like, he has this confidence that I can do anything. And I think part of me being able to do all the things I do is the fact that I think, you know what, he's sitting back in Australia, sitting up all night, watching the live feed of where I am on the race course, which mountain I'm on in Iceland. So I think I can't let him down. I've just got to keep going. So it is. It's great to have that supportive person that believes in you and challenges you.
What's the scariest situation you've been in doing these races?
I don't know.
Has there been a point where you're like in the middle of a race and been like, I may have made
What am I doing? I remember the first time I went to Iceland 2 years ago, nearly 3 years ago, for Spartan Ultra World Championships. And I was on top of a mountain, and it was about, it's really hard to tell the time in Iceland, by the way, because it's just dark all the time. So you don't know whether it's daylight or, but I suppose it probably would have been about 9 o'clock at night, and this blizzard hit, and with the wind chill factor, it was about minus 40 degrees, and there was no one around, because you can be on a race course with hundreds of other people but not see them the whole time. And I had to crouch down and try and walk like a duck because the wind was physically picking me up. And Spartan had been filming it in drones, and I could see this drone smashing down to the ground.
Oh, no.
And you can't see properly because it's dark, but you know that there's huge drop-offs on each side. And that was scary. That was really scary. But I got to the bottom. And I kept going, and I knew I had to go around on the next lap, and doing it the first time then takes that fear away. But quite often I'm in a position where I have to face my fear, and I think that's what it's about. There's some sort of satisfaction in being brave because everybody's scared.
Yeah.
Absolutely everybody. And the only way we can be brave is if we do it anyway.
Yeah.
So you get a great satisfaction out of that, thinking, you know what, I was terrified, but I did it anyway. And I'm quite often terrified. I turn up in foreign countries, knowing nobody, on my own, line up at a race start, often the oldest person there, and I do it. So I think fear's healthy, and I think, you know, it's there to be overcome. We grow from it.
Mm. Are there times where you've sort of seen the, like, your competitors and been like, oh, you know, like all of you guys, all these young whippersnappers.
Always. My first ever long distance race. My first ever. Long distance racing probably came into play about 4 or 5 years ago, where people started to do things for 24 hours or more, and it became something that was quite common. And I remember Australia, True Grit, who's an ex-military organisation, all the guys were Australian commandos, and they put on this race series, which is normally about 12 kilometres and it travels around Australia. They decided to hold a 24-hour race, and it was the first one, and it was the Australian titles. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try that. I'd never run over 20Ks, and I'd done 3 obstacle races. But, that was the first one in Australia, and it was probably my hardest one to do. And I got the guts to get down there. And then when I stood at the starting line, they were all young. And they were mostly men. There weren't many women. And I thought, am I making a mistake? But didn't have much time to think. And once you get out there on the course, it's a community that's very encouraging. It's much like CrossFit and weightlifting and things like that. Everyone's supportive. So even if they're lapping you or overtaking you, they don't do it without screaming words of encouragement on the way. So it's not as scary as you think it's going to be.
Do you find that I think ultra marathons and a lot of these enduro races are really funny in that there are women that are much better than men. Like, it's a very equal sport.
It is, yeah. My coach is an example of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she beats the men all the time.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think it's because it's a mental game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Like when you hit the 12-hour mark, of course everybody needs a degree of fitness and a high degree of fitness, but what it comes down to is everyone out on that course is pretty fit. So what the difference is who can put up with the pain the most, because everyone's hurting, and who can put up with the little voice in your head that's saying, you know what, if you stop, you could have a sleep, or why don't you just curl up there for 15 minutes? Or so it's the person that can push through that. And I think sometimes women are very good at doing that because as mothers, they have to develop a lot of mental strength.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, well, they're used to not sleeping.
Yeah, they are. They're used to not sleeping. They're used to having to give up things. Yeah. They're used to having to have a cold or the flu or be in pain but still deal with their family's needs. So I think it's a skill that we do have a little bit of an advantage with.
Yep. Yeah, I can 100% see that. Yeah. I mean, my mom is right now quite sick with, like, tonsillitis.
Yeah.
And I borrowed her car to come up here because my car's not really... great to drive to Dubbo, and you know, because of that I stayed at the house Thursday night, and she was, you know, trying to take care of me and, and you know, making me food, and I was like, Mom, like,
you're sick,
you know, you're 10 steps away from being in the hospital, like,
yeah,
I can't believe that you can function at such a high level. And she's obviously done that my whole life.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's I can see that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Dad isn't like that. Dad's the exact same way, but you know,
Dad still gets to come home at the end of his day of doing that and put his feet up, and Mum takes care of him.
Yeah, as well.
Makes him dinner. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think sometimes that's why women do well. But also women have the opportunity now of doing a lot of things fitness-wise that they didn't used to have the opportunities of doing. On the courses that I race on, the weights are the same for men and women of what you carry. The obstacles are the same. The distances are the same. There's really no difference.
Oh, wow.
So I think that says a lot about what women can achieve, how women train, and what we expect of women now.
So do you think it's the expectation that is changing their fitness and their performance rather than, do you think, like, in a sport that did that more often? Like, CrossFit's like that. Like, CrossFit, a lot of the weights and stuff nowadays are getting more and more closer together and reps and what they ask of women. And you can see that the women are tanks and...
Yeah.
Whereas in other sports, what's asked of them is a little bit less.
I think it's a reflection on how society's starting to see women.
Yeah.
Like, I think we saw them as people that men looked after. And then we've seen them as more, maybe they're equal in the home. And now it's not only in sport, it's in everything. Mm. You know, women are getting equal recognition and demanding it in a lot of ways. You know, they want to be able to do the same thing. So I guess on the sporting field... we're letting them play traditional men's sports.
Mm.
And women do really well at it. They actually put on competitions that everyone's enjoying watching. So I think attitudes to women in general are changing, and the sporting field is probably one of the first places where it's really, truly recognised.
Yeah, it's probably important because sport is such a big part of society.
Yeah.
To see women that way, because I still know like field sports and stuff, women get paid much less.
Yeah.
So they're
doing
not
the same thing, aren't they?
But they're doing the same thing.
Look at cricket is a big example.
Yeah, and they're not even cheating. The men's team cheats.
Exactly. Women are achieving better results than the men's team, but they're still not getting anywhere near the amount of money. So, but I do think attitudes are changing. Like, we have a televised women's rugby league now that never would have happened.
Yep, that's true. Yeah. And I mean, there are sports that are quite equal. Like in weightlifting, the earning potential for women and men are pretty much the same. The problem is that it's zero.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the same in obstacle, but it is the same prize money. It's the same prize money whether you win or lose. Whether you're a woman or a man, you've got the same sort of opportunities to win. Mm. You don't get anything better by being the male contestant. So we don't feel like a second-rate citizen. And they have a lot of teams that compete that are male-female together teams now. It's the same as in CrossFit.
What does a team event look like?
Well,
do you just have to finish together?
It
can
be really different. In World's Toughest Mudder, a team event is the team stays together, does every lap together, does everything together and finishes together. In the World Championships that have been held in Australia, the 24-hour World Championships, the Enduro ones, which are... the OCR Federation each race, you have a team and it's done in relay form.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it can be very different. It just depends. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not good at being a team player.
Yeah, you're better at the individual side of things.
Yeah, because I feel like then I'm not going to be letting anyone down and I can control what I'm doing more and I don't have to feel like I've got to slow down if somebody just happened to be slower than me.
Or,
yeah. So for me, I guess it's about challenging myself, and the best way I feel I can do that is by doing it as an individual.
Have you done Oxfam?
Yes, I have.
So that's a team event, right?
It is a team event. I did that this year and it was my most terrifying thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I did it with a couple of young guys from F45 and they wanted to do a really fast time. So I was quite stressed about it because I thought, oh my goodness. But it panned out really well.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Kept up with them. And then the rest of the team sort of struggled around the 70-kilometre mark, so we didn't sort of get through as fast as we wanted to. But yeah, it was good. It was a
That's when your fitness finally kicked in at the 70-kilometre mark.
I was ready to run. Yeah, but you know, everyone's different, and I think it's really good to be part of other people's experiences as well.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think sometimes we tend to have this idea that an elite athlete is somebody that isn't us and that we could never be. It's someone that's, you know, trained since they were four and they've also got unique talents that you're born with. But it's not. It's about somebody that really wants to give it a go. It can be anyone. You can all compete on any level. You just have to decide how much commitment you want to put in. I don't doubt that there are people with abilities and talents, but they've got to work at it too. Everyone has to work at it. You just have to decide how much work you put in. So it's people get quite surprised when they realise that if they want to put in the work, then they can reap the rewards.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think it's great to encourage people to do that because I know how I feel when I achieve something and it's really great to see other people feeling like that.
And I think it's really, if there was a meaning to life, I do think it's, you know, your relationships with people.
Yeah.
Like how you impact people, how they impact you.
Yeah.
So, especially for me as a coach, like one of the most amazing things about doing the seminar yesterday was just being able to meet, you know, 30 new people.
Yeah.
And then have some effect on, you know, their lifting and the way they think about things.
Exactly.
And I guess that's the same way with, you know, competing with someone or, you know, just rubbing shoulders with someone at the start or finish line or halfway through a race. And
And sometimes you don't realise how much impact you're going to have on someone's life. I remember when I first started this, before I did my first 24-hour race, I researched everything and I found this story about this woman, Deanna Blake, and I thought, oh my goodness, she's amazing. And I was like a little groupie and following everything she did, and every time I could see a public post about her, I'd put comments up on social media. And then I turned up at the enduro race and she was there.
Yeah.
And my husband kept saying, go over and talk to her. And I'm saying, no, I can't.
Yeah.
Anyway, we ended up talking and now we're very close friends. And she said to me, you know, you don't know who's watching and you don't know whose lives you're impacting. And I thought, you know, well, I was watching her and she impacted my life. And if it wasn't for me following her, I wouldn't have even considered
doing that race.
Yeah. And now people come to me and they might just say, oh, wow, you know, you really inspired me. And because of that, I've gone and tried this. And you feel like, you know what, that's what it's about. It's about not only doing the best you can and being a better person today than you were yesterday, but helping other people to do that too. Because there's no point in life just going through life trying to be the winner and having nobody to take with you because it's pretty boring.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of climbing stuff?
A lot of the obstacles involve climbing.
Yeah, walls and things that you have to scale?
Yeah, jumping walls, climbing up different things, scaling across things. Sometimes some of the challenges, depending on what you do, I quite like military-style challenges just for the sake of being challenged. So some of those will involve rappelling and trying to get up and down cliffs and things.
How do you train for that stuff?
I guess it's really taking... I do a lot of my training outside, which is fabulous, because I think it's really great to get outside and have a bit of a bond with nature. There's nothing like running at 4 o'clock in the morning and then still be running as the sun rises. So pretty much in Dubbo, we're fairly flat.
Yeah, that's what I was a little curious about.
Yeah, so we go out to... I go out to Wellington and I use... Mount Arthur area quite a bit, but also if I want to do something more specific, sometimes we go to the Warren Bungles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're very restricted in what you're allowed to do because it's a national park and obviously insurance and them not wanting people to injure themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my husband's pretty good. He's created me a lot of equipment. I've got walls built at home and I have a big monkey bar rig that's huge and very high and rings and rope climbs. And so.
Are you quite good at monkey bars?
Not too bad.
Is your grip strength really strong?
My grip strength is strong, but I train a lot of grip strength. I have a coach in Melbourne, and a lot of, like, I do a lot of F45.
And what's her name? So we can just give her
a... Her name's Deanna Blegg. Okay. Yeah, she's amazing. Blegg Fit. Mm. Yeah. And so she will get me to do sessions where I'm carrying awkward items like heavy buckets for farmers carries for kilometres and kilometres, and you really don't want to put them down because you've got to do 30 burpees every time you do.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of hanging just for the sake of hanging off bars, and lots of rolling things, rolling very small pieces of stick with a rope on it to pull bricks up high.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do have pretty good grip strength.
Or a typical hanging workout look like for you?
Well, a lot of them incorporate doing things with weights along with a bit of running plus hanging.
So you're doing it out of breath as well?
Yeah, so you are. So you're working under fatigue and under load, because obviously that's what we do in competition. You might run 800 metres, jump over a wall, run another 400, carry something up a hill. So everything's done out of fatigue. So a lot of it I do around one of the gyms.
Yeah.
So I will lap the building several times, and then I might come in and do lunges holding onto kettlebells or weights, and then there might be some L-sits hanging from bars, or a lot of ring work. I do a lot of ring push-ups.
Yeah.
So
just to build the stability in the shoulders.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, because you're jumping up and over things, and while you've got the advantage in the gym, doing things strictly is quite hard. And sometimes you don't realise how much a strict movement equates towards what you're doing out on an obstacle course, because you get the run-up.
Yeah.
So you run up, and even though you're doing, like, the muscle-up movement, it doesn't always equate in your head that that's really what it is. So sometimes you find that by doing these things that I really struggle with in the gym, like the pull-ups, the chin-ups, the ring work, it really helps you enormously when you're doing it in real life, because you've got to run up with it and you've got that extra momentum which helps to propel you.
How many pull-ups can you do?
Not many.
Yeah.
I'm much better at chin-ups.
Yeah.
Yep. Strict pull-ups I can probably do without having to drop off about six, and then get back on and then another... Six, something I really need to work on.
So that would be like one of the weaknesses that you're trying to work on right now.
Yeah, but it's really funny. If there's an obstacle that involves pull-up motion, I can do that. But I think it's because of the fact that there's momentum.
Yeah.
And my head, sometimes, as I've said to you before, your mind's a powerful thing. And so I think sometimes my head doesn't realise that the movement I'm being asked to do in the gym is something I do all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you need a lot of shoulder strength too, because it's no good doing monkey bars and rings like at full hang, because you need to sort of make sure that you're up a bit so you've got the strength to hold on and swing and move and grab things.
Yeah.
We have a lot of where you're holding on by the tips of your fingers and moving across things, and it's no good, like tips of fingers, and it's the same as doing pegboards.
Yeah. Do you like things like pegboards?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they're challenging, and I feel like you feel them for the next couple of days, and it reminds you what you've done. Yeah, I do like pegboard. It is,
and they're probably
challenging
because they're kind of scary too.
Yeah.
So when you're up there, you're gonna be a lot more careful to make sure you come back down.
Yes.
Where on a pull up, you know, you do two pull-ups and you're like, ah, oh, this is hard, maybe I'll just drop off.
Exactly.
You don't have a choice with pegboard, you got to come back down slowly.
Yeah, exactly. And with things like rope traverses and things like that too, it's exactly the same. You've just got to keep going, otherwise you're going to fall in the river or on the ground or whatever it is that, yeah. So, yeah, I guess that does drive you to be better. You don't have the option. So it is a mind game in many ways.
You would have to eat a lot of food, right?
Well, I'm vegan.
Okay.
So I have to eat a real lot of food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I only eat whole foods. I don't eat anything processed. So my almost whole Sunday afternoon is preparing food for the week. But I probably eat about...
Is that what you did beforehand?
No, I did it this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I probably eat between 11 and 12,000 kilojoules a day. A lot of... protein in that, obviously.
Do you get that mainly from like legumes and
beans
and stuff like that?
Yep, a few nuts. I don't use supplements, so it all has to come from food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most things that we eat have some degree of protein in, so if you're eating enough of them and you're eating them in the right combination, because a lot of the fact that we eat so much protein and we don't seem to get the advantage from it is because we're not eating enough of other vitamins and minerals which help us to absorb the protein really well.
Yeah.
So you've just got to make sure your diet's really balanced.
Of course.
And 100% on track, and you can't afford to use any of it for empty kilojoules.
So yep.
As much as I'd love an ice cream or a pack of chips, it doesn't happen because that could be something that's good for me and it's really going to help me.
What do you eat when you're in a race?
When I'm in a race, you have to look at things that are very easy to digest. Obviously, you're burning quite a few hundred